Hey everyone, it's the Monty Man, your host here at Take 12 Recovery Radio, and many of you remember my co-host for many years, sponsor and friend, Bruce H. Well, we have brought back to you three episodes entitled, What Religion Couldn't Do, God Has Accomplished, where Bruce is going to be sharing his experience, strength, and hope, his practical application and implementation of the steps 10 and 11 and 12, and quoting from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, focusing on the mainstay, the core issue, the big solution that is the center of true recovery. And that's developing a relationship with a power greater than yourself to help you solve your problem. So this is part one, episode one of What Religion Couldn't Do, God Has Accomplished.
The views expressed on this special broadcast of the Take 12 radio show do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting or its affiliates. KHLT is not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Once upon the great frontier, not so long ago, the hope of man and earth were so connected. This beautiful creation here to help us grow, watching as it slowly slips away. On this carousel of madness, on a horse to kingdom come, I see our dreams just melting in the sun. Won't you take me back to Eden, to a time when we were one, before the separation had begun?
Welcome, my friends, to this very special broadcast of the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show with myself, your host, the Monty Man, and my co-host here today is Bruce H. Bruce, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Monty. Thank you for having me here.
Now, we're doing something very new here, and the theme song that we've chosen is, by the way, folks, by Freebo, and we've had Freebo on the show, and he performs at many of the 12-step concerts and so forth. And there is a separation that has taken place. And I know that, in my own recovery, one of the things that I like to think of in my head when I read the very first step of Alcoholics Anonymous and many 12-step programs is, that I admitted I was powerless over my separation from God. And that really, for me, seems to be the thrust of this whole thing. And that's what I believe the 12 steps are leading us to and ushering us into, is reconnecting again with this power greater in ourselves. Now, you have a take on this stuff that I'm on the same page with you. I think it is absolutely vital that KHLT and Take 12 Radio make some of this stuff very clear to folks that might wonder where we're coming from. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, Bruce, and we'll start this thing out.
Okay, thank you, Monty. What it is that I'd like to emphasize is, if our sobriety is contingent upon our spiritual condition, I think it should be really made clear what our spiritual condition is.
Uh-oh.
and why we need this spiritual awakening, you know?
Yeah.
What that's all about and how that comes about.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I believe what about is just what you mentioned. I think there's a separation between us and God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think religion is man's attempt
to bridge that
yeah. gap and get to God. And spirituality is God filling that gap and making a way for us mm-hmm. to have fellowship again with him. We term it in things like self-will run riot, self-centeredness, and mm-hmm. I believe self-centeredness is no more than man's worship of himself.
Hmm. Very good. Because we think we can control our destiny. You know, that's a real popular thing these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just think hard enough on something, it'll come true. You know, there's books out like crazy about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
So when it comes to this spirituality, they talk about that deep down inside of every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And I think that's true, that all creation cries out that there is a creator.
Mm-hmm.
But what is this thing we're talking about? Why is it so important? And it was so important that they put an appendage in about the spiritual experience. And I'm not going to read the whole thing.
In the big book.
But I'm just going to read one little paragraph, and it's only three lines.
Okay. And where is this at now?
On page 184.
Okay.
Well, I'm in this. I don't know if it's the same on yours. Yours would be, I think, 567. And
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you're in the pocketbook there.
Yeah, I'm just a little pocketbook.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 560. This is the spiritual experience page?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 569, at least in the third edition.
Okay, there you go, that's right. It says, most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness.
Mm.
So this awakening is, we had this idea, but now we've come to this point where we have a conscious contact with a spirit that will do for us what we could never do for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of tying the book into a summary right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the importance of this. And I actually also believe that the second half of step one is about we can't even control our emotional nature, our instincts, and we need God's help with that also.
And that's where the unmanageability mm-hmm. takes birth there, yeah.
Right. So I'd like to just go over to page 84 in the big book,
mm-hmm.
where it's step 10, and give you a little idea what we're talking about here. If you've done the other steps before, because it's having had this spiritual awakening as a result of the steps, and what the steps did is they just convicted me or showed me my need, my absolute need for this power in my life.
Mm. And you have to know that there's a need. You have to be aware of the fact that you're without before you're going to desire anything within.
Yeah, it begins right with step one. Why would I seek a power if I didn't believe I was powerless?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I did the rest of the steps, and I seen my need, and that's what gave me this humble heart. Mm-hmm. That allowed God to come into my life. I don't think it's my plan. I think it's God's way. He resists the proudful and raises the humble. And it was through these convicting steps that I received this humble heart. And I believe that I used God all the way through him. I used the prayers in the book to cry out to him, to ask him for guidance and direction, and to open my heart for I could see what was impossible to see. So it's one of the, where I like to just start, it says, we're in step 10 here, and it says, we have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. That's you should be spiritually awake at this time. And now it's step 10 is talking about growing in your effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It says, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, now here's key. We ask God at once to remove them. That's why this spiritual experience is important. 99% of us, Monty, we say we're powerless, then we go out and try to change our lives. This is about letting God into your life, for he can change it.
Yes, today I'm working on my character defects. I love that. Mm-hmm. I am trying to remove my character defects. Didn't you try to do that? I can't do that.
That's what I try to do my whole life.
Yeah.
So this spiritual contact that he started to accomplish with me, and he took this obsession away from me. I don't want to drink. I recoil from it like a hot flame today.
Mm-hmm.
And because I have that relationship with him, don't you think I'm more apt to trust him in other areas of my life? That's why it's so important to go on from this step to the next one. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. So we do use other people, and you know, it goes on. Said we discuss them with someone immediately, and we make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then it says this: then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone else, love, tolerance of others is our code. A lot of people, Bonnie, I think right here is where they separate themselves from this experience with God, and they start thinking if they go out and do this stuff, that somehow that will be pleasing. I think we do this stuff because of our gratitude towards God and the spiritual experience we've had. Mm. That he's entered into our life and started to accomplish what we couldn't. So now that's the reason we want to go out and share this with other people. We want them to have this spiritual experience.
So you're saying this shouldn't be to get into right standing with God. This is out of gratitude because we want other people to experience.
Because he's that's what the spiritual experience is about.
Yeah.
You know, we freely pass that along. You know, one of the things that amazes me about the book and what you hear in the rooms is I went through the concordance and I found in the from the front cover to page 164, okay, there's, I think it is 99 times it says spiritual in the book, referring to spiritual experiences, 99 times. And then it says God 115 times between the front cover and page 164. Okay. And then it talks about him several times, you know, capital H. And so this is about God, but people don't want us to talk about that. But if you're as hopeless as Bill was, as Ebby was, as I was, you know, if God runs you out of the room, booze is going to run you back in.
Sure.
You know,
or into the grave.
And here's what I don't understand, and maybe you can answer this one for me, Monty, before we go on. If people come into the rooms with these prejudices and this contempt against God and spiritual concepts and those types of things, and they're going to actually do some step work, that it's a 12-step program and not a program of meetings, why don't they do the steps around God, around the church?
Mm-hmm. That is a really good question. That is a good question. Why do they not do that? I think it's rebellion. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think it's our pride, you know. And I think a lot of people are taking what they experienced in the past and are letting that influence what against what they could experience today.
And that's just what the book talks about. See, those old ideas, that pride.
The old ideas, right.
And prejudices and that contempt that we had, what did it do? It blocked us off from the sunlight of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That spiritual experience that is necessary. Remember, we're talking about alcohol was only a symptom.
Right.
And that book also talks on page 64, I believe it is, about that we're to keep care of our spirituality first, and then the mental and the physical falls in line. See, and we want to keep care of the mental and physical a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's where the problem arises, mm-hmm. you know, with these people. So I'd like to make a jump now on this thing and go a little farther about what it's saying here. It says, it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we have is a daily reprieve contingent upon the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So how do we maintain that spiritual condition? And it says it right here in a short form. It says, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Now, this will get you now. This is why the spiritual experience is so important. Not the steps or any of that other crazy stuff, but having this spiritual experience and having God in your life. These thoughts, which must go with us constantly, We can exercise willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. What are they saying there, Monty? It's saying as long as I grow and use God and ask him for direction and for a purpose in life that and what I should do, and if he would help me carry that out, then I am growing and I am doing his will and not my own.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just go out or say, okay, God, this is your will. I know it. I want to go help Joe, and I'm asking him to come join me in my plans.
Right, Right. You know, this is something that I always chuckle, and I understand the heart behind this. But when I, at certain meetings, maybe it's a Bible study or maybe it's a church function or something like that, and somebody say, okay, let's take some time to invite God to join us. And I'm like, look it, we don't have to give him permission to do that. I understand the sentiment behind it, but my will isn't going to get me anywhere, and I have a tendency to think before I even pray what God's will is.
And that's why it, because remember we're in step 10 right here,
right?
And we're emphasizing the spiritual experience, and then step 11 is improving that, you know. And people think that's actually steps 10, you know, where they
go
to bed at night and they review their day.
Uh-huh.
That's
uh-huh.
a little bit of self-searching, you see.
Uh-huh.
And then when you get up in the morning, you ask God for direction.
Mm-hmm.
You get agitated through the day. You pause and ask him to help you. What you're really doing there in step 10 is building your trust in your relationship with this higher power and relying upon him. You're not working a step and using your own ability to do the step, because then you'd be relying upon yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is about growing in that spiritual experience with this creator that is doing for you what you could never do. What? Stay sober. This isn't about drinking. This is about staying sober.
Big difference.
Big difference,
big,
Monty.
Big difference. Big difference.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge.
Now, let me ask you this, Bruce, and I think this is so important. We understand that we've talked about before, in the beginning, where we stand and where our views are and how we take these things as far as spiritual concepts and so forth, that we walk in the door, some of us with agendas, some of us with old ideas and so forth, and that's fine when we walk in the door. Yeah, that's the beginning. We can start wherever we're at when we start. But we've taken that, I think, in today's Alcoholics Anonymous, we have taken that and made that our full theology. We can stay where we started. And I don't believe that.
I don't either.
And I think that we've done that. If our higher power, which I don't even like that term, this is my personal opinion, but if our higher power is an inanimate object when I first come in the rooms, that's fine. But if I'm actually doing what this book teaches, and I'm doing this with an open and willing mind, it won't stay there.
It can't.
It can't stay there. And so when we say God in here, I think we are cheating people if we leave that open to interpretation as far as, God can be this or God can be that. God, you can create God out of your own understanding. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think we're almost spinning our wheels, don't you think?
Yes, I do, because here's my take on that, where I can give you an idea where I'm at with people.
Yeah.
It really does, when it states in the book, it says you can, as long as it makes sense to you and whatever your conception is, but it also says that that's a beginning. It's like somebody coming in and using the group. Well, if they want to use a group and that makes sense to them, they can do that, but they can't stay there. And here's why, Monty. The book also says that no human power, that means you, me, any part of you and me, or even add three or four more to it.
Or a room full of 40 people in a meeting.
Right.
Right.
You can't, but you can start there.
Right.
You know, and you can, but what we want to do is lead you to a power greater than ourselves. In this case, got to be, what's the ABC say?
Yeah,
that, no human power.
No human power. Yeah.
And that God could and would if he were sought.
And what is it about no that we don't understand?
See, but people have done that, and because people are doing this, Monty, because they haven't gone down the line, because they don't believe they're powerless. They're relying upon their ability to go to meetings and stay sober.
Mm-hmm.
See, they're saying with their mouths that they're powerless, that they're alcoholic, and then they're going out with their actions and saying something totally different.
Yeah.
And I think that's, and they can. Do they belong there? And should they be? They have every right to be there, Monty. It's just like, I think, a person using the steps, if they're relying upon their ability to apply the steps in their life,
yeah,
then they're relying upon the steps and they're relying upon their self instead of a power greater than themselves.
And at some point, if your God is the 12 steps, at some point, it's got to go deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if a person, yeah, if they do them and they've gone through them. A lot of people start to rely upon their sponsors, too. And
that's dangerous.
Bill's story talks about that. Baby sitting there has had this power originated him. It had not. There's no more power in him. You know, mm-hmm. There's no power. I have no personal power. What I am a guy is a guide to lead somebody through the steps that they might have this power in their life also.
Yeah.
And I'm not able to define it at this point either. You know, I'm just trying to get them to see something,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know. And then if somebody is doing this and their life isn't straightened out and they're wondering how come mine is, I'll gladly tell them what my power is.
Right.
Here's where I get confused, and I just might as well throw this in here because
Sure. Maybe
you can help me with this. I kind of believe that if a person was to take these 12 principles and apply them in their life, it would make a great change in their life and the way they function with people, places, and things, and
mm-hmm.
and it probably make them a better person. But I also believe this, Monty, and this is what I hope people don't miss, that if they apply these in their life and they find this power, this spirit that will come in and dwell within them, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That it will transform their lives.
Yeah.
And that's called the fellowship of the spirit.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want people to miss. That's on page 164. But I'd like to show you where it's at right here in step 10. And I believe this paragraph on the bottom of page 85 is the cap for step 10. And it's also the beginning for step 11.
Okay.
I believe it's both. And you can see that. It says, it tells us about this proper use of the will, and then it starts off this way. It goes, much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from him. Referring to something,
yeah,
not a sponsor, not the room.
Right.
Who has all knowledge and power. If we had carefully followed directions, and I believe that's the steps.
There it is, yeah.
We have begun to sense the flow of his spirit into us. That's something new. That's not the same old stuff painted red.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that? That's that spiritual contact. Now listen to what it says. To some extent, we have become God conscious. That we're aware that something's taken place in our life that hadn't taken place before. That's a spiritual awakening. That God is stolen for us. He says, we have begun to develop this vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. That's where it goes into step 11, where you grow in your trust in your relationship
mm-hmm.
with this higher power, this spiritual experience. And I believe that's vital for people to start to understand that and to know what it is that we're growing towards. And I think it could be like, so I've heard some other people say, an educational thing, and God will call you through those and help you through the steps. He did come to me pretty profound, pretty sudden when I did this. It was, you know, when he came into my life. And you might want to be careful what you ask for there, because that'll turn your life upside down.
You might drive people crazy.
Yeah, but remember this, too. I was 60 years old.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how deep I had got into this and how far down the road I'd gone. And if he can come into my life that way, he can come into yours. Now, I think since then I've grown because it says we're to perfect and enlarge our spiritual condition.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just sit still. We have to grow. This is a lifelong thing. You know,
and if we think we can perfect something on our own power,
mm-hmm. good luck.
Good luck.
See, this is about God working in my life, and I'm giving my life, my will over to him.
Right.
And the experiences that come through that are so overwhelming and so gratifying compared to what I got when I was just trying to do it on my own or with a sponsor or just working the steps. You know, but when he come into my life and He demonstrated to me that he was doing what I could never do. Then I stopped taking credit. Mm-hmm. And I started giving him mm-hmm. the credit. Well, they give me the name preacher and a lot of other things.
Brother Bruce.
But I take that as a compliment.
It is.
Yeah. And I think that there's a much more demonstration of our actions through our lives and the way we act. Does our mouths line up with our actions today? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to give testimony and that we don't go to the rooms and share. We surely are supposed to do that. But I think it's through being steadfast and not living life the way that we used to live it, to have a compassion and a caring for other people. And then we're supposed to grow in that towards this thing we call altruism,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and just what that is, you know, and that's the current concern of it, you know, for another human being and not oneself.
Well, Bruce, we got to take a short break, and it's going to be a real short one. And listeners, you don't want to go away. Stick with us here as we bring to you a public service announcement. And we'll be right back more with Bruce H. on this very special broadcast of the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show.
Son, you know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
You're too young. You're still growing.
I know.
When you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt.
I know.
Listen, this is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens. Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. Learn more at StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Tommy Holmes, and this is the Recovery Talk and Positive Music of Take12Radio.com.
Okay, welcome back, and this is KHLT Recovery Broadcasting in Albany, Oregon, broadcasting to you globally. Our email address is take12radio@comcast.net, and our number here at the station, 541-926-5806. You can call Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Please leave a message, because you probably will get the voicemail, and we'll return your call just as soon as we possibly can. My guest and co-hosting the show today is Bruce H., and we're talking about our need, a need that if we don't recognize that we have it, why would we search out a solution? And that need being our separation from God and filling that need.
Hmm. What I'd like to do, Monty, is at this point, if I could, is I'd like to read one more paragraph.
Yeah.
And it's the paragraph that I missed as we were going through step 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to go back and pick it up now at this point, because what it's trying to tell us here, and I so believe that if this hasn't come about in your life, if this hasn't taken effect, then maybe the problem still exists. Because it says in a book, either God has removed the problem or he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's God, not us.
Not us, right.
Okay? And I believe that, well, let me read this.
Okay.
This paragraph. It starts on the bottom of 84. It goes over to 85. He says, and these are the promises that are in 10 that I think are much more greater than the ones that are
coming
nine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause we've entered into this realm with the spirit, with this conscious contact with a power greater than ourselves, that knowing that he's with us. And it says this will happen. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. Now, that is really contrary.
On our part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is God's work.
Yeah.
This is something he does. He doesn't need our help. He does it without us. And people think that we play a part. It just comes. Mm-hmm. That is the miracle of it. If it was any other way, it wouldn't be a miracle. It wouldn't be a gift. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we have played a part. It can't be called those things if we do. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. we feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality. See, we're not fighting it. We can go into the stores. We can work with people that are wet. We can take people to detox. There's mm-hmm. no triggers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Either
exactly.
God has removed it or he hasn't. I live with a woman that is in the cups of this disease, my wife. And I couldn't do that if it wasn't, if God hadn't entered into my life.
Mm-hmm.
He gives me the ability to be the husband that he wants me to be, to not to want to drink. That didn't come from me. This came from this spiritual awakening, and that only come through the Spirit entering into me and allowing me to do things I could never do.
Bruce, do you think these promises, these 10 step promises here, are something that comes that God wants to do in our lives because he wants us to continue on this unselfish path of carrying this message to other people?
I think when he does this, it causes us
to want others to have it.
I think it causes it. I don't think it's a, we do it. It actually transforms our heart in such a way. We're so grateful
that we desire to mm-hmm. do this. And I think that's the key, because you and I have heard people use this part as an excuse to go play pool in the
sure.
the bars
sure.
and do
sure.
this and that.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, this isn't about us.
Yep. When they say this is being transformed from the inside out.
Yeah.
Somebody had that right. This is from the inside out.
Yeah.
And so because I'm being transformed by this mighty work that he's doing in me, it makes my way that I live and the things I want to do for the way I act with people totally different.
Totally different, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I think it is a process. I'm not a saint, you know, but I believe that God is working in my life and he will accomplish what he wants to accomplish with or without me. You know,
yep.
I love the fact that my God is an unchanging God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I really do. And that's one of the things that used to keep me from him, because I said, oh, no. You know, but when you do these steps and they reveal to you, it says, we feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. Has it or hasn't it? See, that's what
mm-hmm.
I mean. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor we are afraid. That is our experience. This is how we react so long as we keep in what?
Fit spiritual condition.
Not go to another meeting. Not talk mm-hmm. with our sponsor. And I want to make this really clear. That doesn't mean that meetings and sponsors aren't important. But my connection with this power,
mm-hmm.
this awakening that I had, that there is a power and that it cares about us, you know, and he'll do for us what we could never do for ourselves. Aren't you just a little? I've been fighting this thing for 45 years. 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think that when he moved into my life and that I don't want to drink, that I'm not a man that I could say I did that?
Yeah.
God gets the credit from
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you think, playing devil's advocate here just for a minute, as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition, part of keeping in fit spiritual condition, however, is making ourselves accountable, I believe, to someone that is themselves like a spiritual advisor,
mm-hmm.
not just anyone, you know, and doing some of these other things, going over the steps, working with others and so forth. I think the problem comes in where people think that doing those things is what keeps us in fit spiritual condition, not that fit spiritual condition is part of doing, being there is because out of gratitude we're doing those things,
yeah.
like you were saying before.
When God moved into my life and started to transform my life,
mm-hmm.
He did that. It produced in me a new work. It placed in me a desire to want to be a better person.
Right.
You see, and
right.
it's because of that transformation that took place in my life, and I'm so grateful for it, that it produces something.
It produces it.
And so my faith in that power,
mm-hmm.
the Lord Jesus Christ, has produced a different work.
Yeah.
And because I think that in Scripture, what it says there is that we're known by our fruit. and that fruit is produced by the vine. I'm just, you know, I mean, the
And that's like you said, it's not necessarily our words as much as what's being produced. And you can usually test things by the fruit it produces. Is this of God? Where's the fruit in it? You know, and we certainly can't. I can't anyway. I don't tend to want to do Bible study or even go to church or even go to a meeting for that matter, unless I am in a relationship with God and talking to Him, not just what I would call quality time. And people say, well, I don't pray much, but the time I do pray is quality. You know, that 3 minutes a day is quality. And I'm like, so would you spend only 3 minutes a day with your kids or with your father?
No.
No, there's got to be quantity in there.
This is so vitally important to me, and I got there through this thing we call alcoholism, that not to want to drink and to be a better person today after doing those steps and this having this relationship, that I wouldn't no more spend just 5 minutes with the Lord in the morning than anything. That I want to spend some time and get direction from Him and some guidance. I not only believe that my relationship with Him, my alcoholism is being arrested with Him in my life, but my relationship with people in the rest of the world is everything is contingent upon my relationship with Him. I don't believe it's just my alcoholism. I believe my emotional nature, my instincts, that and my self-will. I think for the first time in my life, I have freedom. I think for the first time in my life, I have choice. You know, I had free will always, but it was bound by my nature. And today, God has moved into my life and set me free, and now I'm a prisoner of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, bond servant. There you go. And and that sounds so contrary to what people that don't understand. A prisoner of Christ? Isn't it amazing that being a prisoner of Christ releases us into a state of freedom that you would never, ever have before?
Yeah, if I was powerless before and I didn't have the, and I thought that was freedom, and I had my own free will, I could do what I want, but it took me down the line of being a selfish, self-centered, always in conflict, bumping heads with people, drinking. It put me in a place where the alcohol took possession of me. I no longer had any control over it, you know. And now today, for the first time in my life, I can say no. But I can only say no through the power of the Lord. He gives me the ability to say that. He's put this new thing within me. He said that He would put a new heart within me and put His Spirit within me and cause me to walk by His statutes. Without Him, I am nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I refuse to take credit for this or say that I accomplished anything in this. He did this.
He's accomplishing these things in you.
I just say praise the Lord that He brought me to a place where I recognized my need and for He could come into my life. I think I really believe it was a gift.
Yeah.
And if I was to say I played a part in that, it would no longer be a gift.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff. And people are balk against this stuff. It's not popular.
No, it's not.
The Word of God tells us that even the name of Christ will offend.
Bonnie, we're so prideful. We're so prideful.
I know.
That we don't want to believe that we don't play a part in this.
Yeah.
I like to ask you a question, Bonnie.
Sure.
What makes us think that our free will has anything to do with the sovereignty of God?
Yeah. Why do we think that? That's a good question. You know, if God gives us free will, what's that have to do with?
Does God have free will, Monty?
Does God? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's bound by His nature, isn't it?
It's bound by His nature.
Same with us, Monty.
It's like that stupid question. Can God make a rock so big you can't move it? You know, those things, those are asked by people that just want to get you in some sort of trap, you know. You know, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Come on, folks. Let's get serious about who this God is.
I like people, too, as when they go through this book and when they start talking about things and they talk about faith, that they would ask themselves, what is their faith in?
Mm-hmm.
Their faith, when you first come, is in yourself. Then it's in the rooms. And then maybe it's in the sponsor. But if it's still there on some human force, then it isn't in a power. You know, mm-hmm. And the book talks about a creator.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not there, what is it in? And how do I walk my life today? By faith? Faith in what? My faith in God, that he is in my life today. And my faith is in his faithfulness.
Yeah.
I've been the most unfaithful servant you've ever wanted to see.
Me too.
You just have to know that. But my faith is in his faithfulness, that he will accomplish what he said he will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the creation. He's the creator. I'm not putting my faith in no creation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. I have faith in myself today.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
We teach that in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have faith in yourself. Mm-hmm. You can accomplish anything if you put your mind to it.
I'm self-centered, now get a little more self-esteem.
Yeah.
Pick yourself up and get a little more self-awareness.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think of yourself anyway? Well, you know, what's important is, what does God think of me?
Yes.
And he loves us.
See, I believe that the essence of that spirit is, I think what this is all about is the way we react, the way we do, is because of our separation.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said at the first of the program, this is about God placing a way, filling the gap, that we might have that relationship and to enter into that. I think our big problem here, if people can understand this or grasp this, and maybe one day we'll talk about this, is that our big problem is we have to learn to open up and receive this gift.
Mm.
We don't know how to receive, Monty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, we think that we have to go out and where we play a part in this.
Mm-hmm.
This is about grace.
Yeah. Yeah, we think we have to measure up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times...
Where'd those ideas come from? Aren't they old ideas?
They are old ideas. They are old ideas. What is that, you know, people say, and I've said it, I'm just not worthy. That's right. You're correct.
Mm-hmm.
He's worthy. He's the one that's worthy. And he saw past that my unworthiness.
60-some years now, I've been relying upon myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's because of my fallen nature or because of a habit or whatever it is, I have a real tendency, and I think it's inherent tendency, to go back and rely upon myself because I'm in a process. You know, and what these steps, all they do for me, is reveal to me that I do those things. And you'd be surprised how many times a day I go out and I start relying upon myself again instead of relying upon my guy God.
It's almost a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, it's such a habit. It's just mm-hmm. we've done it so long that we immediately fall into that.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes realizing it, sometimes not even knowing it.
And I'm trying to replace my concepts, my ideas that I've had with new things. And it says in the book here that be quick. Didn't say take a while, but it says in step 11, we didn't get into that. Be quick to see where religious people are right, that they have other material. Well, when I went to my pastor and I asked him for other material, he gave me the Bible. And then he told me this amazing thing that my sponsor told me. He says, don't believe me. Check it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I started checking this out, and I let the Word of God come into my life. And I and transforming my old thoughts with the thoughts and becoming biblically minded instead of worldly minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I'm at today. I'm just in a state of progression, and I believe I'll be doing this the rest of my life. I don't believe the more I learn, the stupider I am. I think the more I learn, the more I realize I have to learn, and that keeps me humble. The Word of God doesn't make me some great saint. It keeps me in a position knowing that I put it this way. It says he's unsearchable.
Hmm.
And that I'll spend an eternity trying to find out his greatness
mm-hmm.
and what his gifts are. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a play out there called The Dead Zone about three friends. They got into an automobile accident, and one of them passed away. He was a believer. And he watched, with his guardian angel in heaven, he watched his friends go through life and what happened to them as non-believers and so forth. And one of the things that I was impressed by, and it's a fiction, and it's written by a Christian author, but the thing that impressed me so much was even after he had gone home to be with the Lord, he continued to learn. He was always learning about the precepts of God and the grace of God. It wasn't, you know, well, I've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when he's home with the Lord, he still was in that process of learning. What an awesome thing.
Mm-hmm.
How would you like to just arrive and then there's nothing else?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. The only thing I'm looking for to arrive is that my heart is aches that I want to glorify my God, and I'm just looking for the day when the person of Christ comes. I think this is about a person, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean, and that's what spirituality is mm-hmm. all about, and that's what I look to. That's who my higher power is, and I'm just looking for him to come, for I can realize what it is to be one, you know.
Yeah.
Again, not to be separated, not to be running around worshiping myself or some extreme thing. The book talks a lot about it. One place it gives a highlight in Bill's story where it talks about I needed and wanted God, but then soon he was blocked out by worldly clamors.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes this amazing statement, and these are what the steps look at, is mostly those from within.
Yeah.
If there's a God, there's an evil one, and his job is to stir that up. And all them desires and those wants and those things that separate me are desires that come from inside of me because of my separation. And I think that's what spirituality is all about. And I hope everybody sticks around, Monty, long enough to find out what it is to have the fellowship of the Spirit. I love you, Monty. Not like a brother.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a brother. But because you are my brother.
Are my brother, yeah. Yeah, likewise.
There is a difference.
There is a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
There is a big difference. Mm-hmm. And what a hoot it is, really. I mean, we can have, there's a lot of fun in this. There really mm-hmm. is. There can be a lot of fun. It's not all gloom and doom and gee, I'm nothing. And, you know, what's the word say? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men mm-hmm. unto me, you know. And in lifting him up, he lifts us up.
What did you do for me? I think the listeners should know yesterday when I was in that place where I was deep and depressed and, mm-hmm. and all of that, and my spiritual condition wasn't all that well.
Right.
What was it that, as a brother in Christ, you did for me?
Prayed for you.
Yeah, you bet. See, you didn't come criticize me or beat me up or tell right. me I was a bad person or I was all this other stuff, but you prayed for me and you helped me get back on yeah. the path and you helped me turn my focus back on God because mm-hmm. it got off God and back on me and the world, the things about me.
Mm-hmm.
My mm-hmm. old ways, my old thoughts, my old ideas, I was looking at those and they became more important to me and it was depressing me than my God did.
Yeah.
And there was another person, the same thing, and they come and they help get me back on the path. We're there to be with one another, to guide mm-hmm. and direct. What a wonderful thing to have yeah. that,
yeah.
you know, and to be able to do that with one another. That's the fellowship of the Spirit. That's yeah. what makes us one, the same as one with God. We can have that right here, right now, on the faith of this earth, if we care to enter into that relationship.
We are just about out of time, mm. and we want to go further with this. We want to talk about this more. So are you willing to come back and do some more of this stuff?
Sure. Why don't we take a little look about
yeah.
what step 11 really is and why this growth is so wonderful and necessary.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome. All right, friends. Listen, if you're curious about what we're talking about and specifically who we're talking about and all that, email us here at take12radio@comcast.net. Are we controversial? Very possibly. Are we opinionated? Hey, we want to have God's opinion. We really, really do. But if you think we're nuts, we want to hear from you as well. We do want to stir the pot because we want you to think, but we want you to do it with the power of God behind you, not with your own brain. We have to. Some say this is alcoholism is a disease of the mind, of our old way of thinking. It's a mental illness, and I don't know about you, but I've never been able to treat myself, Bruce. I'm not a doctor of my own making. I can't do it, you know. Yeah. And I don't know of any other doctor, human doctor, that has been able to change the heart of a man. You know, only God can do that. So.
That's right.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Folks, don't forget to tune into all of our shows here at TakeToeRadio.com. Be watching for our next special broadcast. Before the separation had begun. Hey, listen, we can join up with God again through his power and our willingness to accept him. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man along with Bruce H. And we're wishing God's perfect serenity for you.
Before the separation had begun.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.